Today on Season 4, Episode 13 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, it's finally here. Week 1 of the NFL season kicks off and has the Packers traveling to Jacksonville to face off against the NFC powerhouse New Orleans Saints. Bryce, Ken, and I hop back into the virtual studio and talk all things Packers. The heat may be a factor Sunday, but is that our only concern? We talk rookies, give our surprise performance players, do some fill-in-the-blank, and address fan questions. Come hop back in the saddle with us, Packers fans. And now it's time for Week 1 on tap.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers! Go, Pat, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, yeah. Green and yellow.
Unknown Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Green
and let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast. For you heard it, week one on tap. The Green Bay Packers square off against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nope. Square off against the New Orleans Saints week one in Jacksonville, Florida, due to the damage caused by Hurricane Ida in New Orleans. So that is a nice little shift. And I believe the Packers are the away team for week one. But compared to last year, this season seems a little bit more clear. Last year with the pandemic, a lot of unknowns as we proceeded through the season. This year, it seems a little bit more equipped as we'll get a full 17-game season. But we got the band back. Not only did the Green Bay Packers bring the band back for the 2021-2022 season, we've got the band back for the Unknown Packers podcast, kicking off week one with myself. Neebles, say hi.
What's happening?
Ken, say what's up.
What's up?
And then myself, Bryce. But the three of us, we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers squaring off against the New Orleans Saints in the first half. Second half, we'll do some fan questions and a fill in the blank to wrap it up. But kickoff is at 3:25 p.m. this Sunday, September 12th. Green Bay Packers football is here. All that drama in the offseason about if Aaron Rodgers was going to come back or not. Do Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur get along? What's going to happen in training camp? Will he show up? All this stuff, it is here. He will be your week one quarterback. What are your thoughts, guys, as the Packers kick off against the New Orleans Saints for the 2021-2022 season?
Well, I can tell you I'm excited about another season of Packers football. Always good to start off with a good opponent, you know, such as the Saints. I'm a little worried, I guess you could say, about the game being in Jacksonville just because of the history of them kind of being sluggish in the heat and you know, so on and so forth. Obviously, Jameis Winston is from the area. He played down there in Florida, and I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal for them. But we'll see. I'm excited to see it, and I can't wait to see what the band does in this the last dance scenario, if you will.
Already throwing the last dance in there.
You got to do it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for this game. You know, you threw me off when you said the Jacksonville Jaguars in the intro there. I was like, wrong. I'm wearing my notes. But yeah, moving, you know, everyone thought the game was going to be in Dallas, and that's basically a home field advantage for the Packers, the way that Aaron Rodgers has lit that stadium up over the years. Jacksonville's definitely going to be more of a challenge. You know, last I checked, the weather is going to be in the upper 80s and super humid and miserable with a good chance of thunderstorms along the way as well. And, you know, say what you will about, you know, Jameis Winston and, you know, the quarterback, he's not Drew Brees, but Drew Brees really wasn't Drew Brees the last year or two either. Right. But the Saints are still a team that need to be taken seriously, just like all opponents. But this one just it feels different. I don't know. Like this, the fact that it's not going to be, you know, held down New Orleans just has that weird kind of feel like there's some sort of disadvantage, but the Packers are going to be on the road regardless. So, and they had 2 weeks to prepare. So I don't think that that's going to be as big of like a speed bump, if you will, like being a last minute change or anything. There was, you know, 2 weeks to kind of prepare for this relocation, if you will.
I think it affects both teams. Yeah. New Orleans planning for a home game and then Green Bay planning for an away game in the dome. I'm surprised that New Orleans, I don't know if they had any sort of influence on where they could play, but I know that Dallas being a dome team, I'm surprised that they decided to go with Jacksonville. I did read that some, I don't know, some attendant or representative for the New Orleans Saints did a bunch of research and found out that Jacksonville was the highest or most expensive flights.
Mm-hmm.
And that way Green Bay wasn't going to travel down there because of the prices. And we all know that Green Bay Packer fans travel very, very well, and they're an international fan base. So I thought it was a little peculiar that they settled on Jacksonville. I am concerned about the heat. I believe it was 2016 that the Green Bay Packers faced the Jacksonville Jaguars week one, and we thought that we were going to steamroll the Blake Bortles-led Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Packers struggled. Aaron Rodgers was able to score a touchdown in the final seconds, I want to say, to cap off a week one win. So this heat concerns me. Keeping Aaron Rodgers upright, this offensive line, it's going to be a new offensive line. And then three, making sure that Alvin Kamara, that we're paying attention to him at all times. Those are those probably my three bullet points. And those are also highlighted in the weekly insider inbox. I wanted to do a little shout out because those were the three concerns that I had. What are some concerns for you outside of the heat with the Packers and the Saints?
Concern, you know, my concern right now is, you know, with the defense. I don't even know if it's really a concern. I'm just really kind of anxious to see what Joe Barry's going to pull out of his hat. See how this defensive unit is going to perform this season. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously they had some struggles in preseason, but yes, you know, backups and whatnot. You know, some of the rookies had moments and rookie moments. So definitely defense and special teams, usually the annual thorn in our side, are my biggest concerns at this point. Like you had mentioned, there's no Drew Brees, but you still have Kamara to worry about. Michael Thomas is out, so that's another plus for the Packers. But you know, the Saints, they're always just such a dynamic team offensively, so they're always going to be a worry. So I would say my biggest concern right now is how Barry and the defense performs.
Man, I feel like you're stealing my notes there too, or looking over my shoulder, because that's what I
I went first.
Oh yeah, the perks, the perks of the being the producer there. But yeah, I'm curious. You know, not concerned. Well, maybe a little concerned / curious / excited to kind of see what this Joe Barry defense is all about. You know, preseason's very vanilla, and most of the starters didn't even play a single down, single snap. Right. I'm just kind of excited to see what that can be, and you know. Yeah, you mentioned a lot of the playmakers, and the Saints are always kind of a dynamic offense. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention Taysom Hill, not for his quarterbacking ability, because let's face it, he's not an NFL quarterback. I shouldn't say not an NFL quarterback, but he's not. The drama around would he be the starting quarterback, I felt, was just kind of
ridiculous.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think there was much weight. I don't think the Saints even believe that he was, you know, really in competition to be the starting quarterback. But he is a unique, dynamic playmaker. And the Packers have tended to have difficulty with an athletic, you know, mobile quarterback. And while Taysom mm-hmm. Hill probably will be coming in to do some more of those wildcat type formations where he I heard once someone called it his run options, because let's face it, he's not going to throw a pass when he does the option. So it's either he's going to hand off or take it himself. And the Packers historically have struggled with those type of plays or playmakers in the backfield. Usually you don't have to, you know, when you're have a kind of a statue of a quarterback, you're playing 11 on 10 in terms of a defense. When you add that additional run threat, it's, you know, becomes at 11 on 11 and things change. And you know, hopefully there's a plan and we can see that plan be executed week one with this new defense.
I'm with you, too. I'm glad that you mentioned the defense. Joe Barry, did LaFleur get his guy? And I don't mean to throw shade at LaFleur or even Joe Barry, but it wasn't too long ago that Jim Leonard was at the top of LaFleur's list. And so when we talk about is Joe Barry his guy, he's technically not his guy. It's his second choice. And I'm really intrigued with how Joe Barry fares, especially week one, based off of training camp notes and preseason. He's a highly energetic guy. It seems like the players will play for him. You've got Za'Darius Smith still nursing an injury. He was back on practice on Monday, so all signs point to him possibly being ready to go. But for how cautious the Packers have been. And I use cautious in air quotes with David Bakhtiari because he's only been, what, 6 months, 7 months removed from his ACL injury and him being on the PUP list, and he'll be missing out at least 6 weeks or 6 weeks on top of some practice time. So I wonder, will Za'Darius be ready to go, or will the Packers do a little bit more of a cautious approach, even though that he came in and practiced on Monday? The thing that really, I don't know if concern is the right word, uneasy, excited, is this offensive line. I think it's amazing that we went from Corey Linsley at center to now Josh Myers at center, back-to-back rookies, back-to-back Ohio State centers. Linsley started in 2014, and now you have Josh Myers. The Saints bring a lot of gusto when it comes to the defense, and I'm sure that they'll try to confuse Josh Myers, knowing that he is a rookie center. So that's something that I'm sort of cautious about, wondering how he'll fare in his first NFL game. Elton Jenkins is out at left tackle. Last season in week 9 at San Francisco, the Packers were out without David Bakhtiari as well as Rick Wagner, and that was the only time that Elton Jenkins kicked out to the left side, Aaron Rodgers' blind side. How does he fare? Royce Newman, all signs point to him starting as well. Did Billy Turner, can he compound off of this surprising year last year where a lot of people thought he was going to be a popular cut? So for me, I definitely see with the defense, that offensive line, you got to protect Aaron Rodgers. And I think that the Saints have a surprising defense.
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. This offensive line has been one of the most dynamic things to kind of watch this entire season. Not only does, you know, who is the starting five going to be, what's going to happen with David Bakhtiari, but the depth, it's a good problem to have when you feel as a team that you have too many high quality big guys who can sit there and protect the quarterback and clear the lanes for your all-pro running back as well. I'm excited, but at the same time, there are some question marks, and it's going into this week one, figuring out who the five guys are going to be for the time being until David Bakhtiari comes back in. I'm excited to see it. I've been looking forward to this kind of for months now.
Same, and it's interesting because, so this is probably the most ill-equipped, I guess you could say, going into a season. I still read Packers stuff every day. There's just a lot going on. And I think, before we started this recording, we were all talking about all the things that are going on in our personal lives and in our professional lives as well. Don't be mistaken, I'm still fired up and excited about this week one 2021-2022 season. It's just odd. Last year, I was sort of convinced that the NFL wasn't going to get through a whole season, let alone playoffs, let alone crowning a Super Bowl champion, which they did. And I'm intrigued to see how does COVID-19 and how does the pandemic, the Delta variant, influence the Green Bay Packers specifically, as well as the whole entire NFL. Coach LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers are probably one of the more concentrated teams, that they keep their, they mind their P's and Q's, they're responsible, they execute. So I don't foresee any sort of issue, but we talked about this last year, Ken. It takes one player, and I wonder if that's going to have that same effect football during a pandemic. And I know it's different than last year. Does that sort of thought cross your mind, or do you feel like we're in the clear after last year?
Me particular, I don't think we're in the clear by any means. Last year, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I could see kind of either scenario, right? In terms of like how impacted the season for the Packers could be. Last year, there were two players during the regular season who had to sit out time on the COVID list. And then
was it A.J. Dillon and Chris Barnes?
Yeah, it was. I don't think there was a third until the postseason when Jared Valdir came over and immediately tested positive. So that was, we were all excited to have him back in, the kind of spot duty for Bakhtiari, but that didn't end up working out.
And then we were creeped out.
But you think about last year, everyone, the protocols that were in place with, everyone masking, not being able to even eat lunch together, distancing in the locker rooms, no in-person press conferences, what have you, with the media. Now, vaccinations are a thing. Also, non-vaccinations are a thing. And yet, things are, you know, a little bit more open, a little bit more whatever. And I wonder if that's, if there are going to be folks who are maybe a little bit less cautious in between Sundays, if you will. And it, like you said, it only takes one. And by no means am I a scientist or a doctor or have any specific knowledge, but, you know, from the reports that are out there, we know that folks who are even vaccinated can still test positive and even spread. And that could be the issue where, you know, folks who feel like they're doing everything right can still potentially test positive, even if they, you know, been doing what they need to do to, you know, comply with the league's rules and the team's rules and be safe. But, you know, it can happen. So knock on wood, you know, do whatever you got to do, wear your lucky socks, hope that it's not an issue for this team this year. But, you know, it's by no means, I don't think, in the fully in the rearview mirror yet. Not, you know, not as a society, and, you know, not as a, you know, unfortunately, you know, as football being coming up here as well.
I'm with you. I don't mean to bring this up to sort of damper the excitement. I just, it's reality right now. And last year we didn't have fans. This year we will have fans. I'm happy that you mentioned about how things are different, a little bit more open. You've got media involved. I do wonder how that plays into what we said at the beginning, or what Nebel said at the beginning of this episode, the potential last dance of Aaron Rodgers and maybe some other players. We're going to continue talking about the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. But first, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we are back with the second half of week one on tap. And I know that I sort of, we had a very loaded question and answer in terms of COVID-19 and the protocols and how that influences everything. Nebels, what is your perspective on it? And then we'll pivot into fan questions and we'll wrap up with a fill in the blank.
I'll try to keep it quick because I think you guys did a pretty good job of covering everything that I would have said about it. I can tell you that personally, I'm actually a little bit more nervous about getting through the season this year than I was last year. Reason being is last year, you know, everything was so unknown. They were able to play without fans in the stadiums and whatnot. Now we know more than we did last year, and it's still, you know, it's still not under control. Like you guys were saying, it only takes that one person to wreak havoc on the whole clubhouse, especially when teams, like I said, you can be on either side of the vaccination fence. Teams aren't mandating them for all the players. So all it does is, like I said, one person be careless, one person's friend be careless, slips up, and then you could have the whole crew getting sick, vaccinated, not vaccinated, masked, you know, unmasked. So I have a very uneasy feeling about it. I do think they are trying to go to the lengths to keep things under control, but you know, especially with like the Delta variant and things going on right now, people are still getting sick. It's not going to take much to shut this thing down, unfortunately. Again, knock on wood that it doesn't happen, everybody stays healthy, but I am definitely pretty darn uneasy about, you know, going into this season.
That's why I wanted to mention it, just talk about it rather than sort of go through. I also wanted to embed reality of what's going on. I live in an urban city that we were affected by it and still are affected by it. So it's definitely a topic of concern. It has been for the last year and a half. And with how stacked the Green Bay Packers are, bringing the band back, you add in this other precarious, unknown sort of entity, and could that derail potentially a very magical and special season? I hope not. Stay tuned, we shall see. Talking about a very special and magical season, like I mentioned, the Packers are stacked on defense and on offense. You've got Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur, head coach Matt LaFleur, enters his magical breakout third year. That third year breakout, I wonder if that third year breakout will mean we get over that NFC Championship hump and we get into the Super Bowl and we bring back what is rightfully ours. But instead of talking about some other fan questions, this is actually a question from me that I tweeted out there, and we got a diverse response for this question. I'm curious with you two. For week one, Packers versus Saints, what Packers player will surprise you the most? And before you guys answer, I did want to mention that we got just a ton of responses. A.J. Dillon was a popular one. Rashawn Gary, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was a very popular one. Eric Stokes. I even got a Dean Lowry because whatever he does will surprise me. Apparently was, even if he does a little bit, that'll be surprising. But I will say that MVS and A.J. Dillon seem to be the top two vote getters, if you will. Jeremiah Wayman, one of our co-founders, former co-host, and graphic designer, said Amari Rogers. Curious. Who surprises you the most? Week one.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go a little off the cuff here. Kind of, you know, one of those far out scenarios like I like to do. I am gonna go with Kylan Hill.
Oh, I thought you were gonna steal
RB3, Kylan Hill. I just think it's one of those situations where it's super early in the season. We're going into Jacksonville. It's gonna be hot. It's gonna be humid. I have a feeling there's gonna be a good chance to kind of for him to spell, you know, both Jones and Dillon. I think they're going to maybe give those two a little bit less of a workload, kind of get, you know, Hill in there to carry the rock a few times. And I'm predicting he's going to come out with a tutty in his first game.
Ooh, a tug.
That's right.
Kylan Hill, seventh round draft pick.
Steal of the draft right there, like, and he's going to show it.
All right.
Oh, I miss bringing the band back together. We get wild. I love it.
All right. Well, I see your Kylan Hill, and I'm gonna give you an A.J. Dillon in the same backfield. Right. And the reason why I went here is like,
because you love him.
The love is very real. But you know, kind of what Neville was saying, like Kylan Hill, like he's been the darling. He's been like all eyes on him in the backfield during this preseason, and you know, really showing what a mistake it was to like let this guy fall to the seventh round, you know, steal the draft, as you mentioned. But I think what, you know, when I think about it in terms of a surprise, I think it's going to get back to kind of business as usual with how this backfield is run by the Green Bay Packers. I'm looking back to what was done last year with Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and A.J. Dillon being the third back. Dillon only got 9% of the snaps all season long. And that included one game where he was the feature back against Tennessee, where he, you know, ran for 21 attempts, 124 yards, and 2 second-half touchdowns. Jamal Williams, as the number two, was a surprising 40%, and Aaron Jones on 52%. I think that we're going to see just an increased workload from what we've been able to see from Dillon. I feel like he kind of goes under the radar, especially this offseason, where he, you know, he really wasn't getting a lot of work. He was getting a lot of that veteran rest that a lot of the, you know, starters and key players on this Packers offense and defense were getting this preseason. So I think he's going to come out and maybe not surprise, but maybe remind people what we have with Mr. A.J. Dillon, RB2 in the backfield.
It's pretty crazy to think that not too long ago, people were losing their minds that we drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round when we already had Aaron Jones. And now he's, I mean, Ken, you've been talking about what the Sultan of Squat Quadzilla for quite some time, and deservedly so. That Tennessee game, you really got to see why the Packers thought so highly of A.J. Dillon that they wanted to draft him in the second round. I want to say last year he was also number one in broken tackle rate. Guy is just so hard to bring down. He embodies tough running, and then you think about it in Lambeau, in those conditions when you just sort of ground and pound and you wear out a defense, and then you pair that with Aaron Jones and you get that thunder and lightning. Very exciting to see. And now entering that third year with Coach LaFleur, you're seeing his imprint on what he wants this Packers team to be. It's exciting to see, and I can see why so many people were A.J. Dillon was such a popular pick. I'm glad. I thought you two might steal mine, but the player that I feel will surprise the most is recently acquired punter Corey.
Oh, there you go.
Bojorquez. I think just everything that I've read about him, he seems like a guy that just is a student of the game, student of punting, really wants to be the best. And coming off a year in Buffalo in which he led the NFL in gross yards with 50.8 yards per punt and was tied for fifth in net yards with 45.1, I also found it very fascinating that he essentially could have picked where he wanted to go, and he went to the Los Angeles Rams that has four-time All-Pro Johnny Hecker, who last year was voted to the AP 2010's All-Decade team. Johnny Hecker also was so scared in a recent interview that he thought he was going to be unseated by Bojorquez. I'm still trying to get the pronunciation of his name right, but facing a tight cap situation with the Bills, they opted not to tender him. And Packers at that time, they stuck with their plan of Ryan Winslow and J.K. Scott, but had always kept their eye on Bojo. And after the Packers released J.K. Scott last week, Brian Gutekunst, leaving no stone unturned, swung a deal and acquired Bojo. I think what we're going to see is a guy that's got a booming leg, and that's something that we haven't seen in quite some time. I think he's going to surprise me and hopefully everyone else. I think when people think of punters, they sort of scoff or roll their eyes. But when we saw what J.K. Scott did, anything a little bit better is going to be exciting. And I would love to see a dominant special teams led by Bojo. But I think he's going to be the guy that surprises the most.
I like it. I like it a lot. It'll be good to have, knock on wood, a reliable punter in there. I mean, it's like J.K. has just been such a wild card for some time now. It's at the same time, I was a little bit surprised when they let him go. I don't know why, just because he's one of those, you know, those fan favorites. But I'm glad that we have the chance to kind of solidify that position.
He still hasn't been picked up yet.
No,
J.K. Scott. He's still on wait.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He hasn't been signed yet. So I think, again, the whole Brian Gutekunst leaving no stone unturned. He drafted J.K. Scott, in the fifth round? Licked his wounds, learned, and then swung for the fences here with Bojo coming in. I'm excited to see. What also is interesting, not only does he average, 50.1 as a gross, but he had 34 punts placed inside the 20 in 2019, so a couple years ago. But a guy that is very capable and I think very much needed. This is the year where everything comes together. You have the offense, you have the defense, and now you have the special teams. I'm very excited to see what the special teams does. So maybe in general, the thing that will surprise me the most in week one is special teams.
Okay.
But that was one of my questions. I also have, I'm gonna save this last fan question because it's more of thinking into the future. So we'll go right into the fill in the blank. But Ken, you had a fill in the blank for us, and usually your fill in the blanks are intelligent and creative, and I'm hoping for the same right now. No pressure.
Oh, you flatter me. And of course, again, no pressure, right? So we're recording this on Tuesday, the 7th. The Packers did release their first unofficial depth chart. Mm-hmm. They'd never give an official one, so they're always going to be unofficial. But their first regular season depth chart, if you will, with the 53-man roster. And on that, two rookies are starting on the offensive line. You do have Josh Myers at center, and Royce Newman, as of right now, is penciled in to that starting right guard spot with Lucas Patrick winning the left guard competition. We all kind of thought that Royce Newman was at least on the trajectory to get that right guard, but now it's, you know, locked in stone, if you will, on the depth chart. So you had mentioned, you had alluded to this a little bit when we were talking earlier, but you know, my official fill in the blank question is, the Packers starting two rookies on the offensive line makes me feel blank. And I'll kick it off to you, Bryce, who's been asking all the questions, so now you get to go first.
I'm going to piggyback on what I said. I'm excited because I think that with Stenovich and LaFleur as well as Hackett, they're not just going to put in rookies in there for the sake of putting rookies in there. I think Royce Newman and Josh Myers earned it, but they are rookies. And things change when in an actual NFL game, not training camp, not practice, not preseason. So the cadences of Aaron Rodgers and just how he functions on a whole nother level, are him and Josh Myers going to click? I think that's probably the thing that concerns me the most is when do they gel? So for me, I'm excited, but I was on the fan here in Milwaukee a few weeks ago, and Bart Winkler had asked me, like, does this team excite you? And I think this team is capable of winning the Super Bowl. I think that this the only team that can beat the Green Bay Packers is the Green Bay Packers. I really do think that when they're firing on all cylinders, they're the best team in the NFL. But the thing that concerns me the most is that there's a lot of turnover on this offensive line. Brian Bulaga, Corey Linsley, and now you have David Bakhtiari. It would be nice to have Elgton Jenkins more in the middle of that anchor instead of kicking him out to left tackle. It'd be great to have David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins there as that 1-2 left tackle, left guard. So overall, I'm excited, but I'm nervous. I think how well this team fares, it relies a lot on this offensive line, and can they protect Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Excellent. That means it's excellent. My turn, huh? Again, I may be an outlier, but I guess I'm not really worried about it. I'm not really excited. I guess you can kind of say I'm more indifferent at this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are athletes playing at the highest level. There's a reason why they were scouted and picked and put in the position to start on the line of the Green Bay Packers right now. And I think they're going to go in there and do their job. They are going to have their rookie whoopsies, you know, now and again, but you know, it's going to happen. It's going to, you know, there's going to be some growing pains involved, but overall, I think they're going to, you know, the LaFleur and crew are putting the best men that they have on the front lines, and they're going to do well. I don't think we're going to skip much of a beat. Traditionally, it seems like when we lose a big piece of our offensive line, there hasn't been, you know, much of a problem filling those shoes, and the next guy up standing in doing well. So, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty much indifferent. I think it's going to be business as usual, and I can't wait to see how they perform.
Right.
All right.
You know, when I'm thinking about this, I kind of, you know, mirror both of you. I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm feeling pretty excited, but I do have a little bit of that like first day of high school type of like nervous too, right? You know, obviously Josh Myers being a second round pick comes in with some high pedigree and was kind of more or less named the starter upon draft, really. It was his job to lose. Man, but the fact that Royce Newman coming in, the Packers have drafted 6 interior offensive linemen in the past 2 years, have some good returning veterans along the line as well. And for him to make a name for himself and to prove and separate himself from the pack, right? Running with the threes and the twos and the ones to rise to the top. That makes me feel really good. That makes me feel confident. Mm-hmm. He wasn't put in that place because they had no other better option. It seems like he really took in this opportunity and has been able to run with it. So that it just makes me feel, you know, a little bit confident and happy in what this team has been able to do from a front office perspective and, you know, how they build talent. You know, you look at Elgton Jenkins, you know, drafted 3 years ago, Josh Myers, Newman now on the inside as starters. You got Runyon, who was, you know, was also in that.
Flashed last year.
Yeah. He flashed in some brief time that he spelled last year, and he was in the running as well for a starting job this year. And those are all offensive line draft picks within the past 3 years and really going to be the future along this line going forward. And that has me excited and confident. But again, you know, Neville's mentioned, you know, there's probably going to be a few whoopsie daisies here and there, mm-hmm. especially at that center spot. You know, he's a guy who's going to touch the ball literally every single play. And so hopefully the learning curve is going to be pretty high, but hopefully, you know, Myers seems like a guy who can climb that pretty quick and feel comfortable and do what he needs to do to succeed at this level, especially with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is going to demand the absolute most out of him and his play and being kind of that second in command, if you will, of the offense.
Well said. Well said. I love it. I'm getting excited. We got week 1 Green Bay Packers football. The Packers got the band back. We have the band back here at the Unknown Packers podcast. We're back at it week in, week out with weekly episodes. And as we bid adieu to week 1 on tap as the Packers square off against the Saints, we're going to take a little snapshot very quickly. Tell me, this was actually a fan question from @MattPickett. Which game are you most looking forward to this season and why as we wrap up week 1 on tap?
I can go. I don't know what week it is, but I'm looking forward to the Rams-Packers game at the end of November. First of all, I'll be at that game, so that's, you know, good reason right there. But I've always been a fan of, I don't know if I should be embarrassed or not to say, but I've always been a fan of Matt Stafford, and I want to see what he can do with a team such as the Rams. Their defense is traditionally amazing. I think he is going to add a lot to the offense, and they're going to be one of those NFC contenders that are just going to be sticking in there till the end. So a late season game against them in Lambeau, that's going to be fun.
I like it, Ken.
All right. Man, that's tough. It's either week 9 or week 10. 9 is at the Chiefs. Obviously against Mahomes, that's a premier matchup. That's also that 17th game, that new game that's into the regular season where we're playing an AFC opponent. Or against the Seahawks, week 10. You know, at Lambeau, the Seahawks just kind of get under my skin. It'd be really nice to have that game at home and watch the Packers take out Russell Wilson. There's lots of, you know, to steal Neville's word, there's a lot of whoopsies in the Packers' history against the Hawks, and hopefully they can take care of business at home. But those are back-to-back weeks, so I think really, you know, it's a tie for those to see if they can take care of business against two high-quality opponents.
I think we're finally getting to see, or hopefully, knock on wood, get to see Mahomes versus Rodgers. I think that's a no-brainer. Everyone's sort of excited about that. So I wanted to think about something a little bit differently. The Niners do, I want to see LaFleur really hand it to Kyle Shanahan. This is week 3, so I know that he's got a rookie quarterback in Trey Lance, and he lost his defensive coordinator. He lost his offensive coordinator, so there's going to be some reshuffling. So I'm not as excited. I think that the game that I'm most excited to see is the Baltimore Ravens game against the Green Bay Packers. It'll be at Baltimore. I know that Baltimore lost J.K. Dobbins, and also they just lost Justice Hill, and I think they just signed Le'Veon Bell. So they're grasping at straws for that running back. But like you mentioned, Ken, the Packers struggle with mobile quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson is as mobile as they come. This is late in the season. You're getting primed up for the playoffs. I think this would be a big statement win if you're able to go into Baltimore and shut down Lamar Jackson. I would really like to see what the Packers defense does, and can Rodgers go toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson and company. So that's probably the game that I'm most excited to see, just because in the preseason, a couple years ago, Lamar Jackson ran wild and Rodgers had a lot of admiration for him. They had a chat afterwards, and so I'd love to see them in the regular season here. So that's what I got. Any last words before we bid adieu until next week?
It's good to be back chatting with you fellas.
Oh, I missed you.
Great to be back. And man, regular season is upon us. I'm excited. Let's go.
Go Pack Go. Everyone, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for tuning in and supporting the Unknown Packers podcast. We look forward to talking Green Bay Packers with you week in and week out for this 2021-2022 season. I'm your co-host, Bryce Christensen.
I'm Niebles.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack Go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.